yet proved it according to him. Okay. We haven't yet proved the situation. Right. Yeah. See, if what not, we learned likewise another opinion that was voiced. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Chiya Bar Abba said, Omar Rabbi, Omar Rabbi Abba, he said in the name of Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, and he said, Purim Shechol Yoyz B'Shabbos, if Purim occurs on Shabbos itself, then what? Makdim Mekari B'Shabbos Shofar Zohar. So he says, let's say Purim actually occurs on Shabbos. Doesn't happen by us anymore. Right, all right. But let's say theoretically if it occurred on Shabbos, still the opinion of Rav would be the opinion that prevails, namely what? That we would still read Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos prior to Purim itself. And not the way Rav said, you know, not what Shmuel said, to read it the day following Purim, in other words, on the 15th of Adar, the same day that would be observed in Waltzim. All right. But as we know, the halacha, of course, as we already stated, follows the opinion that you read it always prior. Okay. Then, Vashlishis, the third Shabbos that we have is Pora Aduma. Okay? What we call Parsha Pora. Okay? But more fully, it's Pora Aduma, the red heifer. Okay. Tadu Rabbanan. So the sages taught as follows. Ezehi Shabbos Shlishis. What do we mean by the third Shabbos? In other words, we know that we're referring to what? The Shabbos Parsha Pora. But the question is, what if you have a few more Shabbosim in the month? In other words, let's say it's a month in which you have, five Shabbosim, that would be difficult. That would be 35 days. No. You would have four. But the question is, when is Rosh Chodesh? You understand? Right, right. Yeah, not on the Hebrew calendar. Not on the Jewish calendar. No.
Jewish month is only 28 days.
Right. I was thinking the 31-day month.
No. All right. Think again in terms as follows. Okay. Let's say that Rosh Chodesh Adar occurs on Shabbos. Okay? So that is Shkolim, right? The next Shabbos, we already said, is going to be Zohar, right? And then the following Shabbos would be the what?
The 16th.
It would be the 16th. Should we say that that's Pora or not?
Yeah, well, Pora don't you mean?
Should we say that or not? And then the following Shabbos is what? After the 16th would be the 23rd, right? And then the following Shabbos would be HaChodesh.
Right.
Because it would be Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
No, it can't be. It would be already... But you know, it could occur on a different day during the week, so that you may have a free Shabbos or you may not have a free Shabbos. You understand? This is a possibility. So the question is, what do they mean by the third Shabbos? Do they mean actually the Shabbos which is closest to Purim? Or do they mean the Shabbos which is closest to HaChodesh? Now, as long as HaChodesh is, we're talking about HaChodesh, then forget about a month of Adar which begins on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos, okay? But instead we're talking about a month of Adar which begins during the week, but when is Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Chodesh Nisan, let's say, would be on Shabbos on that particular year. So in that case, you understand what I'm saying? We say that which is Parshas HaChodesh? It would be on that Shabbos, the first of Nisan. Okay? So that therefore, if we count back, then we already have what I was counting before, you're going to have a question as to what do they mean by the third Shabbos, the one closest to Purim, or do they mean the one closest to HaChodesh? Okay?
If you count
back.
You go back.
Okay. That would be, okay. Now, remember, Adar has 29 days.
So the third one would be...
Yeah, Adar has 29 days.
29 days.
Okay.
So the one so, you're mentioning, yeah, right, would be next to Nisan, wouldn't it?
In that case, that's really what we're going to be ruling, more or less.
Oh,
okay. But it may not be, because there may not be that many days, and there may not be that many Shabbosim in between, depending upon how the calendar falls. Okay, when is Rosh Chodesh this, and when is Rosh Chodesh that? Okay. All right. So anyway, this is what we're now arguing about. Shabbos Hashlishis. All right. We said Hashlishis Paraduva. Yeah. Satana Rabbanon. So our sages thought, Ezehi Shabbos Hashlishis. What do we mean by the third one? So this opinion says Kol Shesmucha LePurim Me'Achreha. The one which is closest to Purim following it. Okay? So this works in most years, but it may not work every year. As a matter of fact, we do follow this as a halacha, that the Shabbos right after Purim would be Parsha Parah, right? And then in that case, there may be, again, a hafsaka. There may be a Shabbos which is not one of the four special Shabbosim, and then it's going to be Rosh Chodesh Nisan at that time. That would be the Parsha, right.
So on that Shabbos, you actually read three Torahs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if happens to be Parsha Chodesh, Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh, then in that case, precisely, even though they didn't mention it, but the rule certainly applies that we take out three Sifrei Torah again, to read the weekly portion, to read the Rosh Chodesh section, and then to read the for Parsha Chodesh, right. Okay. Thank God that we have a Luach these days. We don't have to worry. Somebody once referred to that they tell the story about a Rav came into a town, and they asked him some question about the date or something. He says, "Oh, how did you remember?" They said, "Because Chabad cooked in Halig and Luach. I looked into the holy Luach." So you know now that the Luach is Halig, okay?
Yeah.
When my grandfather died in 1948, the funeral parlor, whoever it was, gave us papers, among which was a Luach that ran to the year 2000.
Right.
At the time,
it seems so far off, right?
I thought that was like forever.
Right.
You know, it was like a forever...
Correct. I have two copies of it. It goes back to almost 1900, and it goes forward all the way to 2000.
Yeah, there are books which will go beyond 2000, thank God.
I'm just saying, my perception at the time was that this is like...
We understand. Okay. All right. So, opinion over here then is now that the Shabbos Shlishis is the one which is closest to Purim. Following it. Itmar. We learned. Rab Chana bar Rab Chanina Omar Shabbos Hasmuch Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He says, no, it's the Shabbos which is closest to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But the Gemara says, well, no pligi. But in reality, they're not in disagreement with each other. Oh, the Ikla Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'Shabbos. In other words, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan occurs on Shabbos, right, then in that case, what? Then it should be the Shabbos which is closest to Purim. But, the Ikla b'Emsa Shabbos, but if Rosh Chodesh Nisan occurs in the middle of the week, then in that case, it's going to be also closest to what? To Parsha Zalchidish. In other words, it'll run 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Berevitz, what is the special reading, or what is the special Shabbos that we have? The fourth one? It says Zalchidish HaZalachem. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, again, our sages learned Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. on the Shmini Shadur, which occurs on Shabbos itself. So we learned already that Koran Kisiso, right? Then we read Parsha Kisiso. Of course, it's the Maftir we're talking about, okay? Umaftirin Yehoyodot. Now, this already, as we see, is in an age where they already had also Haftaras, okay, that they read from the prophets, okay. So what is the Haftarah that we choose for Parsha Shkolim? It's the one in which we learn how High Priest Yehoyada and King Yoash decided to make repairs to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they had to collect money from the people in order to be able to make the repairs. Okay. The Ezohi Shabbos Rishoyna, and what is the first Shabbos in the series now of the four Shabbosim? For a special Shabbosim, it says Kol Shachol Rosh Chodesh Ador LeYes Pesecha. It's always going to be whenever Rosh Chodesh Ador occurs in the middle of the week, unless of course it is Rosh Chodesh itself. But the point that I'm making over here is that Va'afilu Be'er Shabbos, unlike what Shmuel had to say, even if it is Erev Shabbos, we still read it prior to it, okay? And therefore, Mashniah, the second one, is Zohar, right? And what is the Haftorah for Zohar? The Maftir in the Haftorah is Pokarati. Pokarati is the story about how Shmuel, the prophet, is sent to King Saul, right, to King Shaul, to tell him, you know, that the time has come in order to punish Amalek, okay? So the Haftorah that we read this past Shabbos, okay? That's it. Okay, the Ezri Shabbos Shniyo, and then what is the second Shabbos? It says Kol Shachol Purim Liyos Pesecha. Whatever we have Purim in its midst, I feel the Erev Shabbos. It makes no difference whether Purim is Erev Shabbos or any other weekday in between. Now, Bashlishis, what is the third Shabbos? This is Poradubo, and what is Haftorah for Poradubo? Maftirin Vizorakte Aleichem. This is the selection that we'll be reading this coming Shabbos, okay, where it says that the prophet Yechezkel predicts that God says that I will pour pure water over you and I will cleanse you from all your sins and so on and so forth, and then bring you back there to Israel, and you'll be my people and so on. Okay, very beautiful leftover, so it's something to look forward to. Okay, and then that's the Haftorah that we read Parsha Purim. But he says, "V'ezah he Shabbos Shlishis." What is the third Shabbos? It says, "Kol Shabbos Purim Biachareha." They paskin that it is the closest Shabbos after Purim. Okay, that is Parsha Purim. Okay, and Boravis, the fourth of the special Shabbosim is Hachodesh Hazer, right, what we call Parshas Hachodesh, in which we read about the preparations for Pesach. Okay, we're Maftirin, and that's after we read Kiyomar Hashem, Borishom, Yechad Hachodesh, and this comes also from the book of Yechezkel, where we read about preparations for Pesach in the future temple that will be built, how they had to cleanse it and things like that in order to prepare to celebrate the festival. Okay. And with this, we continue now on the next page, which is Lamed Omed Beis. Right. Okay. The Ezohi Shabbos Reviz, which is the fourth Shabbos, he says, Kol Shachol Rosh Chodesh Nisan Yis Pesecha. Again, it's the Shabbos preceding Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Va'afilu be'erev Shabbos, and it makes no difference you know, even on Erev Shabbos. In other words, they are disagreeing with Shmuel's opinion in all these cases, okay? And they follow Rav's opinion. Of course, as I said, however, if Rosh Chodesh Nissan happens to occur on Shabbos, then in that case, it's not prior, but it's that particular Shabbos, okay? All right. Then, the Gemara continues by citing first the Mishnah, says, B'chamishis, on the fifth Shabbos, Chosin Chesidvan, they return to the normal order of reading, okay? So the Gemara wants to know, the Seder, which normal order are we talking about? So Rav Ami Omar, the Seder Parshios, who Choser, he says, we're talking about the regular Torah readings that we have to read, that, you know, you go back to reading the normal portion that you would read. And Rav Yirmi Omar, he said, the Seder HaFtoris, who Choser, he says, we continue to read the regular Sedras in their order. We don't interrupt them. But what is the difference? The difference is as far as the what we would call the Maftirs and the Haftaris. This is the difference, okay?
Otherwise, it's a regular reading.
Right. So, Omar Abaya Abaya said, Kavosi the Rabbi Ami, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Ami. So he says, Mustabit makes sense. Why? Because it's non. We've learned Makol Mafsikim, that the normal readings of the Torah are interrupted for special days.
Okay.
Yeah. The Rosh Chodeshim, for example, Rosh Chodesh, we read a separate reading, you know, a special reading for Rosh Chodesh, right? The Chanukah, Purim, on Chanukah and Purim, they have their own special readings, okay? The Ta'aniyos, on fast days, we read a special reading for that. Uma Modes, and then this is what we learned when we studied the Gemara Tainis, that they had Ma Modes, you know, that 1 week, every 24 weeks, was assigned to a particular area in Eretz Yisrael, and you would have Kahanim, Levim, and people from that area who would go to the Beis HaMikdash to represent there, right? Right. Well, it's twice a year, okay, that they went. There are 24 districts, and they cycled it around, but on the major holidays and so on.
In the
Ma'amad?
Yeah.
Yeah, but as I say, it would work out to twice a year that they would have their turn, because on the major holidays, then that was suspended.
Yeah, how many Kahanim would there be in the
Ma'amad? Oh, that way they had a delegation. Delegation of Kahanim, delegation of, obviously, they couldn't get everybody in.
Yeah.
So what did they do back home? Back home, they also, they would get together at the shul, they would fast, they would read from the Torah and things like that. So that that being the case, we learned that, that instead of reading, let's say, the normal portion that they would read on the weekdays, you understand? Not talking about the Shabbos, it didn't apply, but on the weekdays, let's say Monday, Thursday, okay? On those days, instead of reading the, you know, like what we do, you know, we read, you know, what's going to be the first Aliyah of the following Shabbos, as it would be what we normally would do, right? Instead, they would read on those days, as we learned, they read it from the first chapter in Bereshit, okay? And they would divide it up, you know, one day they would read Bereshit, the next day they would read Yehi Rokiya, and so on and so forth, okay? So, this is what they learned. So, in other words, we're talking about the fact that over here, let's say that Monday is Rosh Chodesh. Which would we read? Would we read the Monday reading, which applies to the weekly Seder, or would we read a Rosh Chodesh reading instead? Of course, we know we read the Rosh Chodesh and not the one that applies to Monday, okay? And the same thing is true if Chanukah would occur on Monday, or if Chanukah or if Purim occurs on Monday, or whatever it may be. In other words, on those days, they all have their own special readings that take priority over what they normally would read. Yes.
If Rosh Chodesh is during the week,
yes.
Does that Shabbos that follows do the Rosh Chodesh one, or does it have to fall on Shabbos to be the Rosh Chodesh?
No, it has to fall on Shabbos itself.
It has to fall on Shabbos
sure,
itself.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
But the blessing of the new
month. The blessing of the new month.
That
this was instituted in a somewhat later period, okay? They used a prayer that Rav composed.
So that includes the
Hiratzon, and essentially is what Rav would recite. This we learned in Gemara Brachos, that he would recite it after the Shemoneh Esrei.
And it's the Shabbos that precedes the new month. Because you always say it will be in the...
That's correct.
So it's the Shabbos that precedes.
Yes, right. Okay. But that doesn't make it Rosh Chodesh, that Shabbos.
No, I understand.
It's the same thing with the Musaf service. You know, if people aren't aware, they may think that, when you say Musaf, that they should say one for Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, but that's wrong. It's only Shabbos Rosh Chodesh when it's actually Rosh Chodesh itself. Right. Okay.
Early on,
HaKippurim, also Yom Kippur, there's a special reading and so on. So he says, Bishlamah, if we agree, Lamad Norm, on the Seder Parshios, who goes there, that, when he gets, returns again to the normal readings, in the cycle of the reading the way we normally do. So Hainu, the Ika Pasha Bechol. So in that case, we could find, that we read a portion, at least of the Pasha, in the weakness. Ela Lamando Omar, but if we say, we agree with the authority who says, the Seder HaTorah who goes there, that he goes back to reading the normal cycle of Haftorahs. So he says, Haftorah b'chol mi'iko? Do we ever read a Haftorah in the middle of a week? And the answer is, of course, we normally don't, right? But the other authority says, for kid isa, the hokid isa. Look, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why? Ta'aniyos, lomali hafsaka likrei. Lomali hafsaka. Why none of that reason? Because on a tiny seabird we do read a half Torah, but when do we read it? Actually, we read it the midnight time, okay? Don't read it in the morning. But it says that he had a different idea. He says, on a fast day, normally have sukkahs, why should we have, why should we stop reading the regular reading that we would read, let's say, for a Monday or a Thursday? His suggestion is, why don't we read in the morning service, we'll read, the regular reading that we would have, based upon the Torah cycle. Or the Mincha, but the Mincha B'taniyas, B'tanisa, but then we read the Torah again at Mincha time on a fast day, so then we will read the special reading for the fast day. We don't follow that opinion, because what we do, as all of you who attend the shul on the weekday know, that we read the special portion for a fast day by a chal Moshe, right? We read that both in the morning and also in the afternoon on a fast day. But the difference being that in the afternoon we also have a Haftorah in addition. So, let's say if you came early this past Monday, you would have seen that, for example, Jeremy, who had the third Aliyah, so he also read the Haftorah at that time. Okay. All right. So, Messiah, they...
Right?
Yes. But the suggestion that was made that in the morning we would read the regular portion, and then in the afternoon we read it. That's not how it's not our practice, okay. And we have a support for it in the statement which is made by Rav, who said, what do you do on a fast day? He says, the tzafra, in the morning, in other words, the first part of the day, kinufia, people come together. What do they do? So Omar Abaya said, Mitzafra the Palga de Yoima, from morning until halfway through the day, until midday, Ma'ayanin the Mili de Masa. They discuss the problems of the local community. Nepalgi the Yoma Lefanya, and then from midday until towards evening, or until evening, from noon until sunset, let's say, okay? Right, so we still have, you know, half of the day, right? So he says, Riva the Yoma, one quarter of the day, so, Kara. And then they read the Torah, and they also read the Haftarah. The Riva the Yoma, and the fourth quarter of the day, Bor Rachmi, they put in special prayers to the Beit HaShalom to ask, you know, for forgiveness for the sins and so on. Now, what does he base it on? He based it on the fact that in the book of Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah, we have a pasuk which takes place in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. Shanema, the pasuk over there says, Vayikra'u b'sefer Torah Shal Hashem Elokeihem Revi'is Hayom, that they read in the book of the Torah of Hashem, their God, one quarter of the day, right? Revi'is, and one quarter of the day they spent Mizvadim and Mishtachadim, right? They confessed their sins, that's what it means, and they also prostrated themselves. The Ipachano, and I say that it's not exactly that order, but the opposite order. It says, Lo Dalko, Lo Salko
Dalte. What do you mean they reverse the order?
Instead of, he would say that we should do the reading of the Torah earlier, and so on, before the davening and so on, or davening and then the reading of the Torah and so on. That's what he means.
Confess the sins.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, because we said that against the sins, but prostrate themselves, that's of course is davening, okay. It says, I don't quite agree with that opinion. It says, the sin, because we have another pasuk in Ezra which says, we lie, you're call, chorei, unto me gather together everyone who literally trembled, in other words, who you know, feared the word of God, the God of Israel, Al-Mal Gola, because of the literally the sins and the trespasses which were committed by the people who were living in the Gola, right, in the you know, in the Golas and so on, Vani Yosheb is shaming. And I said, I was sitting over there stupefied, in other words, unable to say anything, Ad Lemilchas O'Erev, right, until it was time to bring the evening Mincha. Yosef, and then the Pasuk says, Lemilchas O'Erev, and at that particular point, say, Kamti Mitanisi. Then I arose from my fast, and presumably I prayed and so on. So,
the point over here is, number one, we don't exactly follow this procedure. Okay. He says, in other words, the point that he's making over here is simply that I have proof for the fact that in the morning when we daven, and we have to read the Torah, so what do we read? We read from the portion of the Torah, because it doesn't say about reading from the fast. That's only for later in the Minchas HaErev, he says. Okay, but of course, as I said, what do they use the entire day for? Besides fasting, they would come and they would talk about the problems of the community, and then they would pray to God, you know, that they should be forgiven us and so on and so forth. Right?
What day is this now?
We're talking about a fast day.
A fast day.
A Tadis, right. A Tadis.
Doesn't matter which one.
Right. So, of course, we don't follow this. I mean, with us, I mean, a fast day is a usual day. I mean, you know, people, we come, we daven, we say special prayers, or we have the reading, the special reading for a Tadis, right, in the morning, as we indicated, too, that at Mincha time, we read, and we read with the Haftorah and so on, but what do we do the rest of the day? So,
ideally, the rest of the day of a fast day should be devoted to what?
Torah.
To study of Torah, to giving charity, yeah, to doing charitable works on behalf of the community, and so this is ideally what it should be. But we know that for all practical purposes,
we're not late again,
people have to work. Okay, tonight is the 26th of the month of March. Yeah, believe it or not, in the year 2003. And we are continuing now in Megillah, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, with a brand new Mishnah at the bottom of the page. Okay. Now, until now, we had been talking about the readings for Shabbos, the readings for the four special Shabbosim, Shkolim, Zohar, and Porah, and of course, Achodesh, which is this coming Shabbos, Parshas Achodesh. And then we had also what were the Haftorahs that are associated with them. But and then we spoke about fast days. What is the reading for a fast day, and what is the procedure? This is what we heard just a few minutes ago. But the difference, as we discovered, is that in those days, a fast day was a day in which people didn't go to work, but they devoted the entire day to the purpose of the fast, whether it was community business, whether it was prayer, tshuva, whatever. But today, you know, people go to work. But we read the Torah, however, on a fast day in the morning, and we also read it at Mincha time. And at Mincha time, we also had a Haftorah as well. All right. So this is what we've had during the past few weeks. The new Mishnah that we have, which is, of course, the final Mishnah, actually, in Tractate Megillah, which forms the basis of the rest of the discussion that will follow until we make the Siyum on the Megillah. Maseches Megillah is about what do we read on the different holidays, okay? Because that wasn't discussed until now. So now this is what we'll be dealing with. That's why I gave out Chumashim, so that we could see a little bit more easily what we do read on the holidays. And in some cases, what they suggested is not exactly what our practice is. Part of the reason being that the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, Rashi points that out, was written in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Rosh Hashanah, they observe how many days of Yontov? They observe only one day Yontov, exactly. So, Pesach, for example, they observe day one and day seven. Those are the Yom Tovim. And in between is Chol HaMoed, okay? But unlike us, where we observe 2 days of Yontov on each occasion, with the exception of Yom Kippur, okay? So, naturally then, in some cases, the reading that they had suggested that should be read is not exactly the reading that we follow to this day, even to a certain extent, even in Eretz Yisrael, okay? So, there will be these differences, but nevertheless, for the most part, what the Gemara will discuss, based upon the Mishnah that we're about to study, is adhered to pretty well. Okay, let's say about 85-90% of it is what we still practice today. Yes, Marty?
Well, isn't that old argument that we observe 2 days instead of one because we didn't have Eretz Yisrael, so we didn't know which one exactly?
Well, problem really started with on a different basis. The problem was that it took time to communicate between Eretz Yisrael and the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, as for example Babylonia, okay? And because it took that time, even though we learned in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that they used to light bonfires on the top of the mountains in order to signal the fact that the Beis Din had finally declared that it is now the first day of the new month, remember? We had that. But still, it did not reach in Babylonia more than, let's say, the outskirts, you know, where it was closest to Eretz Yisrael. But the interior of Babylonia, it took more time in order to get the message across. Okay? So, because of the fact that in the communities outside Eretz Yisrael were in doubt as to the exact day, because they first received notification at a later period, at a later time, so therefore they decided for safety's sake that they would observe 2 days Yom. And then the Gemara in Beitzah says, inasmuch as it became an established custom, so this is Minhag, I was saying, Biyodeinu. In other words, it's a hallowed institution, and so we continue to do it. But Eretz Yisrael, it never accepted the idea of 2 days Yom Tov, except for Rosh Hashanah. It's the only 2-day holiday that they have. Okay? So, naturally, I mean, if you have 1 day Yom Tov, so you have to have a reading for that day. Everybody agrees.
2 day Yom Tov for Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah?
Why do they accept that?
With Rosh Hashanah, there was a problem that we learned in the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah, that sometimes the Beis Din cannot reach a decision as to whether it would be the day following the 29th of Elul or not, okay? And so therefore, they may not have proclaimed Rosh Hashanah until the day following that, namely the 30th.
Right.
That would be the 31st, if it were the council beginning of the Elul, okay? So therefore, it became established, but really at a later period, because as long as there was still a viable Sanhedrin that was able, you know, to, by observation, to see when is the new moon and make an official proclamation. So, for centuries, they still
were confirming that they don't need a Sanhedrin, do they?
Today we don't need it.
So why do they still observe 2 days?
The answer is, again, that just as we said in the case of 2 days Yom Tov for the Golus, right?
Yeah.
For the Gola, Galut, whatever you want to call it, okay? Diaspora, okay? Yeah. Fancy English word, no, based on Greek, okay? So it became a hallowed institution in Eretz Yisrael itself.
It's like tradition.
Right.
Yeah, tradition.
Right.
Rabbi,
yes.
In Israel itself,
yes,
when a decision was made, it was, how could it be possible for word to get to all of Israel? Get right down to it.
Well, we learned, messengers would be sent out by the Sanhedrin in order to spread the news.
And they could go through all the corners.
And they could go, right, yes.
But also, they
had these bonfires until the heretics, the meaning probably the Christians, decided to create problems with the Jews, and then they stopped the bonfires. But as long as they were, as long as they were in operation, it was easy. They were put on top of the highest mountains going, and then they were able to see if it was lit, and they would flash back and forth the torches that they used, so then they knew that was officially Rosh Chodesh.
Which is interesting that the Native Americans used the same kind of signaling.
Yeah,
to get
of course.
Down to it.
Of course.
They used smoke.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, absolutely.
Primitive people.
There are those who say they were the lost tribes,
Right.
Let's just say it was a form of communication.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Okay. All right. So now to continue with the Mishnah that we have on Lamed Amud Beis. Okay. It says, B'Pesach, on Pesach, Korim Peparshas Moadosh, and Toras Kohanim. All right, so we have to define what these terms are. First of all, what is Toras Kohanim? The answer is that this is a name that was given to what we call Sefer Vayikra. They like to call it Toras Kohanim. Why do they call it Toras Kohanim? Because as we see, from what we've already read, that the first part of it deals primarily with sacrifices, with the investiture of the Kohanim that we read last week, and we'll continue this week with other things that have to do, and then Tasri and Mitzvah, where the Kohen plays an important role, and then of course in Achrei Mos, where we talk about the service of the day of Yom Kippur. Okay, so they say then that on Pesach we read that section which deals with the festivals in Vayikra. So where does it deal with it? All right, so the answer is we have to go to Parsha Emor. Parsha Emor. Emor. Okay. All right. Emor in Vayikra. Right. Okay. You take a look, chapter 23. All right, chapter 23, which begins on page 519 in our Chumash. Okay. All right. This chapter deals with the various festivals. It starts first with Shabbos, okay, and then it continues with Pesach, and then Shavuos, which in the language of the Mishnah is called Atzeres, okay, and then of course we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and finally Festival of Sukkot. If you take a look at the chapter, you'll see that this is, it deals with it. But on Yom Tov we also preface it by the last verses of the preceding chapter, namely on 5:18, we have the section that begins with Shor or Kesev Aways. Okay, and to this day, this remains a reading that we use on Yom Tov. Okay.
Where does that start on 5:18?
5:18 begins with verse 27 and so on. Right. Right. Okay. All right. So this is sort of the introduction to the Parsha Sabuados, so that this is what is read on Pesach. This is what the Mishnah says. Okay?
It's read on Pesach.
It's read on Pesach, right. Okay?
And so if they read from there, from 18 to where?
What they read in those days is, let's say they started with over here with Shor HaChesed and so on, okay? And then they probably read through through verse 8 or something like that in the following chapter, which deals with Pesach. Okay, the reason why, actually probably the next one too, the next verses too, which deal with the bringing of the Omer. Okay, and of course because that too is connected, you know, to Pesach, because when was it done? It was done the second night of Pesach. Okay, so from this point on, you know, we begin counting the Yom and so on. All right. So it went as far as the next few verses as well, because after all, the counting of the Yom is mentioned, if you take a look in verse 15, Sfartem lechem bochas haShabbos, okay, you begin the counting and so on. And so, 5:21, okay. And I would assume that they probably concluded the reading with verse 22 of the next page on 5:22, because all that section had to deal specifically with what? With Pesach. Okay? All those were students. I assume that this is what the Mishnah had in mind when it did. The reason why I say that is because we have a somewhat different procedure. Okay? But nevertheless, this is what the Mishnah undoubtedly had in mind. Okay? All right. Then, what did they read on Atzeres? The Mishnah tells us. In other words, remember, Atzeres means Shavuos, right? So they read Shiva Shavuos. Okay, what is Shiva Shavuos? So, you take a look again, and you'll see that this already comes from Parsha
Re'eh.
Okay, I'm moving now to Parsha Re'eh.
Someplace in the eighth. Okay. Which part of the
Okay, so take a look again on page 815. Again, they start with Pesach, right? And so on. And then, if you take a look on page 816 in Parshara A, there you have the phrase Shivosh was Tisporlok, right? Count 7 weeks from the time that they first begin, right? And so on. And then the Sisachav Shuas Hadasham Lakecha, you shall, you know, then observe the festival of Shavuos, the festival of weeks for the Lord your God, and so on and so forth. Okay? All right. So that would be the reading for Shavuos, according to the Mishnah. Not what we do today, but that's a different story. Okay? All right. No. The holidays we learn supersede the Parsha of the week. Just as, for example, some other things also superseded, although only to a certain extent, because our practice, for example, if it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, let's say, okay, then in that case we still read the weekly Seder, as was suggested, Minyan de Yoma, as the Gemara. We read in the second Sefer Torah the passage for Rosh Chodesh, okay? Or, as for example, this coming Shabbos, where it's going to be Parshas HaChodesh, we're going to read the regular Seder that's assigned for this week, right? And then we'll take a second Sefer Torah and we'll read Parshas HaChodesh, which we find in Sefer Shmos, Parsha Bo, which deals with the preparation for Pesach, okay? Because this is the significance of Parshas HaChodesh, is to inform us the month of Nisan is coming, and we have to be prepared for the festival of Zman Chiruseh, festival of our freedom. Okay? All right. So, according to the Mishnah, this was the reading for Shavuos. Well, of course, you can see that it is it has a passage appropriate to Shavuos. Okay. Now, how about the next part of the Mishnah over there? All right. Then it says, Barosh Hashanah, they read, Bachodesh Hashuyi Be'echod Lachodesh. This is going back again to what we had in Parsha Emor. And that would be beginning with the words, begin on page 522, 523. Okay. As you see over there at the top of page 523, you have the words Bachodesh Hashviyi. All right. Obviously, the first one is an introduction. God spoke to Moses, saying, "Tell the children of Israel as follows." Right, Lemar Bachodesh Hashviyi, on the month, the seventh month, Be'echad Bachodesh, on the first of the day of that month, Yelochem Shabbosel. This is to be a festival day to you. Zichron Trua, time that we are to remember the sounds of the shofar. Right. Mikra Kodesh, and it's a holy convocation. Okay, so this was the reading then for Rosh Hashanah according to the Mishnah. Okay, again, remember I stress that what we do today is different. Okay, but first we have to understand what the Mishnah is saying, and obviously their practice was a little bit different 2,000 years ago than what we do today, because as time went on, there have been some changes made in the order of what we read on the festival days. Okay. Then, excuse me. B'yom HaKippurim, Achrei Mos. Well, to this day we still do that, Achrei Mos, because that deals with the order of Yom Kippur that was carried out by the Kohen Gadol in order to achieve atonement on behalf of the people of Israel. And that's the chapter that you will find a little bit earlier. Okay. Achrei Mos begins on page 480. And the entire chapter deals with the various rules, what was the order of the service carried on in the Mishkan and the Tabernacle in those days, and that of course formed the basis for what is the order of service that we have to this day. First of all, the Beis HaMikdash itself, when the temple was built, And then, of course, it forms part of our prayers for the day, in that, for example, in the Musaf service, we have a reenactment of how the people responded when the Kohen Gadol would pronounce the name of God, that they would fall on their knees, and prostrate themselves, and say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso, and so on, okay? So, this is the reading for Yom Kippur. Then the Mishnah continues, and what do we do on Sukkot? And Sukkot, remember, is referred to always as Chag. Okay? Chag. Yes. Ha-Chag. The holiday. This, I guess, is like the holiday par excellence, okay? So it says, okay. So he says, B'yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, right? On the first day, Yom Tov of Sukkot, Korin B'Farshas Mo'ados Shabbatoris Kohanim. Again, we go back again to what we read, Shor HaKesem, and so on and so forth, okay? Because there, at the very end of that, if we take a look again on the 520s or so, back again to MR. Right. Okay. In MR, after we've had Rosh Hashanah, after we had Yom Kippur mentioned, so finally on page 524, the concluding part of that reading deals with Sukkot. So you take a look, you'll see. On the 15th day of the 7th month was Chag HaSukkot, so it's to be observed for 7 days. The first day is a festival day, and so on, and there are all kinds of sacrifices, and then the 8th day is again to be a festival day, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, here is where we have the mention made not only of dwelling in the sukkahs during the 7 days of the holiday, but also that we are to take on the very first day the pre-ates hot dog, kapas tamarim, and so on and so forth, what we call the four minute, the four plants that we hold, you know, the lulav, the eswig, and the hadassim, the aravos, okay? So this is where we have the reading, and obviously it's appropriate for Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, okay? Of course, it's written over there by Yom HaRishon, Kachtem B'chem by Yom HaRishon. So it's very, very appropriate for that particular time. Okay, and the mission now continues, and it says, what do we do, Kol Yemos HaChag? In other words, what do you do as far as the days, you know, what we would call Chol HaMoed, days of the festival? So they read the Korbanos. This, of course, is what we would call, you know, normally it's the Maftir readings on other occasions, but on Sukkot, actually, it is the reading that we do during Chol HaMoed Sukkot. If you'll take a look, this is Parsha Pinchos. That's why I say, I mean, we're running around over here, but the, you know, like it to be familiar with what we're talking about over here. Okay, Parsha Pinchas, we find, okay, all kinds of the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and so on and so forth. Beginning with, beginning with page 5, with 695, we have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, then it continues with Pesach on this page. The next